Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Jim Kelly, who is the CEO of Evo Payments International. Jim, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's always nice to catch up with you, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to get the inside scoop on all the activity that has been occupying the time of you and your team over the last 6 months. There's been a number of partnerships, alliances formed, and I'm hoping you can give us some insight. What were you doing and why'd you do it?
Well, thanks. And yes, it has been a very active time for all of us here at Evo. On the M&A front in particular, we've been fortunate to announce two transactions over the last 6 months. The first of those two was the Bank of Ireland. So this one was a strategic alliance with a bank who had already sold its business, had been through the M&A process, and was looking for essentially a fresh start. Went through a public process, and I think of the transactions that we've been able to accomplish over the last 3 years of our international foray, this is one where we're probably most proud, given that it wasn't about the dollars spent to form the relationship. This was based on the capabilities of the company, the products, the service anticipated by the Bank of Ireland that we could bring to bear. So we completed the process, selection process in September. Prior to September of last year, we were not in market. In the span of 3 months, we stood up an organization and processing capabilities. We launched our first test merchants by the end of December of last year, and we're live in market by January, and today we're signing over 100 new relationships a week.
Wow.
For us and for the bank. Yes, it's actually quite amazing. We were also fortunate. A member of the bank's team that went through the selection process to vet the competitors actually joined us as the general manager to run this alliance. Brian Cleary is his name. And Brian, together with our head of international, Darren Wilson, did a fabulous job pulling together the capabilities of Evo globally. We have a telesales capability here in the United States out of Texas. We moved some people from that organization to Ireland to stand that up, and that's up and running. We took boarding systems out of the United States. We plugged them into our European platform, which is out of Poland, so that the new system that was available for the Bank of Ireland at its branches as well as at our offices made the entire process paperless, something the Bank of Ireland within the bank doesn't have that capability today. It was one of the things that we showed as a differentiator is that we're an entirely paperless process, and speed for the merchant to be up and activated was cut substantially from what they had experienced prior. And then lastly, we used the processing capabilities of our European platform, which is in Warsaw, to deliver products, back office capabilities, so front office, sales, service, initial service to customers, all done in country, which is a philosophy policy that we have here. But the back office, which would be chargebacks, risk, credit, that type of capability is done between our German and Polish offices. So really a true team effort, one that we were very proud of. And more importantly, how we felt, the bank is extremely happy with the outcome.
Wow. So that sounds like a pretty significant project and a lot of activity in a compressed time frame, but yet you've done other things. How in the world did you find time to do anything else? But I know you did. Describe what you also did and are in the process of closing.
So beyond Bank of Ireland, we just announced last week a long-term relationship with Raiffeisen Bank. Raiffeisen Bank is a pan-European bank based out of Austria. This relationship is out of Poland, so we have a long-term relationship. This will be the second one in Poland with Raiffeisen. What's nice about the Raiffeisen relationship is they are, as I said, pan-European. They're, I believe, in 13 markets across Europe and into Russia. So in forming a relationship in one, it provides us the opportunity, provided we do a good job for them in that market, to expand this capability, this monoline focus on acquiring to their other markets. And we're really excited about, again, that was a selective process, so we're very excited about winning. This is, unlike Bank of Ireland, this is an acquisition of an existing portfolio. But more importantly, while that is important, more importantly, it's the relationship that we form with the bank, the long-term nature of that relationship. And again, I think using Bank of Ireland as an example, it enables us to leverage the things that we've already now accomplished in Ireland, we can make those available within Poland, which we actually already have, but in the other markets that we hope to find as a partner with Raiffeisen.
So how do these two initiatives, that's a very simplistic word because I know they're both different, I'll use that word. How does this complement your overall strategy? How does this fit with the vision of where EVO Payments International is going?
So good question. You know, for the first 20-odd years of EVO's existence, starting from two guys in an office to a large dominant acquirer here in the United States, taking the capabilities, the somewhat ingenuity, the entrepreneurial spirit of the founders, together with the capabilities of the team that's been assembled in the last few years, and we've successfully over the last 3 years been able to form relationships with financial institutions. And that's a core tenet of our strategy, not that we don't invest in other companies. We acquired the licensing for IP Commerce as a technology investment several years ago. But my philosophy is we have a lot of capability as a company. We have almost limitless capacity within the organization from a processing standpoint. What we and others need is distribution. And you know, my view has been for the last 15 years doing this is financial institutions are the best partners to form, especially in new markets where we don't have resources, we don't have core expertise. And so over the last 3 years, whether it be Poland, Spain, Germany, we've sought out these leading financial institutions to partner with. The strategy is not simply an M&A strategy. It's really a strategy about bringing value to our merchants. The M&A is kind of a means to an end. But ultimately, if we didn't have another transaction to do, an M&A transaction to do, that would be fine with me. Our focus is providing high-quality service, you know, leading products, whether they're products that we develop in-house, which are somewhat limited, versus enabling products that are available in the marketplace, because there's lots of people out building neat ideas for the payments institution at a competitive price. You know, our interest is not to raise prices every single year to make numbers. Our interest is to grow market share profitably. And if we can do that and hold on to the merchants that we sign, then you know, we're happy. Presumably our merchants are happy, and in particular our financial partners are happy.
So let's talk a little bit about the value to the merchants that you have and acquired as part of these two transactions. What additional value are they getting as a result of what you've done over the last 6 months?
As I mentioned with Bank of Ireland, some of it is the capabilities that we have in-house. One of the ways EVO, which started its journey in payments as an ISO, one of the ways it's differentiated itself was through speed to market, the ability to have a sales representative in front of a customer, complete a transaction, agree on terms, sign up for those terms. And you know, here in the United States, we can activate in front of the merchant. We can download the terminal and off we go. You know, now iPads, et cetera. That type of capability doesn't exist in Europe. It's quite foreign to that marketplace because that market has largely been bank-centric, where the acquiring business was more of a means to an end than a business unto itself. We see ourselves as changing the market. As I mentioned, in Ireland in particular, we're entirely paperless. The ability for a merchant to be able to activate is in terms of, you know, days, not necessarily hours, but in previous times it was weeks. So I think you get a higher level of service on the front end. You know, we believe our servicing for problems and et cetera that come along the way is also quite capable. And then for larger merchants, and this is where some of the investments in companies like Snap or IP Commerce come into play. Well, we have two platforms, one here in the United States and one in Europe, where a new merchant, a large merchant, a multinational merchant, now either of the Bank of Ireland or Deutsche Bank or PKO or other partners, they're able to connect to one system. So they connect to our Snap system one time, and that gives them access to processing across North America as well as across Europe. And they have common reporting and a common person in terms of interface to the extent that that's important to them. And I think for large multinationals, while a lot of the competitors talk about being able to do that, I don't know that that, in my experience, is that still is a work in process. And we think the capabilities that we've developed here not only service the small merchants, as I described, but also these large multinationals.
So you talk about two platforms, US and Europe, and you talk about the two partnerships / acquisitions that you've made. How does all of that fit into these platforms? Are they now part of your existing platform? How do you think about rolling these, these relationships into your existing infrastructure, or do you keep them separate?
I think it's both as it relates to the processing side, because this industry, its mantra is high fixed cost, low variable cost. You try to own as much of the cost structure as you can so that each time you add another merchant, another transaction, your cost is not variably increasing. And that's the leverage model that draws a lot of investors into the marketplace. So on the cost side, what we tend to do, and I think Raiffeisen would be a very good example. Raiffeisen has its own platform, and together some of the services it uses third parties. So our strategy will be to move the processing of the merchants that are in the portfolio today onto our existing European platform, again, out of Warsaw, just like Poland. So Poland is already up and running for our existing PKO business. That's what we acquired 2 years ago, and Ireland also on the Polish platform. So over the next 12, 18 months, I would see the bulk of what we've acquired to date up and running on a common platform for merchants that have commonality between different markets. That makes it much easier for us. From a financial standpoint, it's a better return. It's better control because we're not having to do the same PCI work, the same regs update for Visa, MasterCard, or local debit. It all just simplifies the capabilities. So that's the kind of the back office. In terms of front office, brand, et cetera, in each of the markets, and this is a little unique because I think in many cases people go to market with their brand, but whether I'm in Spain or I'm Ireland or Germany, the brands that came long before me, so Banco Popular, Bank of Ireland, which dates back 200 years, those brands are established in the consumer's mind. I mean, every consumer in those markets, probably from birth, has seen that name within that marketplace. It's not something that I can replicate. So while I'd like EVO Payments to be the name in each one of our markets, what we have found, and I think the banks appreciate, is the opportunity to partner either under their name. So in Ireland, we're BOI Payment Acceptance, and in Spain, we're Popular Payments as a play on Banco Popular. And that allows us to leverage the relationship that's been established long ago with the merchant. And I think for the bank, allows there to be a closeness that is different than just being a vendor providing a service. And what we're trying to not look like is a vendor just providing service, but that we're hand in glove with our bank partners. It's been a successful model, and I think we'll continue to do that in markets where the bank wants to leverage its name. But once you get past in-market service, we'll fall back to a traditional model of leveraging our back office.
You talked about standing up the Bank of Ireland business in a relatively short period of time. And I know you described how you were able to leverage a lot of your existing assets and move people and leverage process. Is that fairly unusual in the business to be able to do what you described that quickly?
Well, it's hard for me to speak to my competitors, but as I said, I've been in the business for 15 years, seeing a company. And in the instance of Bank of Ireland, we'd only just the year before acquired the Polish business. But to get the coordination, I think it's five different nationalities, on a common language, with a common objective, with a contractual commitment to be done by December. I'm very proud of the team that pulled that together. And when I look against, who I'm competing with, I don't see a lot of competition that is capable of being able to mobilize in-market processing as though we've been there for 10 years. So I think we feel good about our position in the marketplace. And when we're in the next opportunity, the next bid, the next round, the next RFP for another relationship, we clearly point to the Bank of Ireland in all our propaganda about what success we've had there, as well as we make available any one of the relationships in all of the five markets that we're in today to speak to the people of the bank and let them, be the judge of whether we lived up to what we said. And, I think in any business that you're in, you're only as good as what you've been able to prove and your credibility. And for a company that's only been around in Europe for 3 years, EVO's gone from not being known to, as some people describe it, as the it company right now.
Wow. So since you brought it up, you sort of hinted to the next. thing. What is the next thing on the Evo Payments International Roadmap as the IT company in Europe? Can you give us any hints?
Well, you know, we're not public, so I guess I can be more descriptive. I think Europe is going through a change right now, and whether it's because of regulation, whether it's because of competition, there's a number of factors, raising capital, that's caused the financial institutions to do the type of things that's already taken place in the U.S., in Canada, in the U.K. I think we'll continue to be active in Europe. We love the market, and we've got a great team across the market. I think we're well positioned to compete, as I said earlier, with the competition. I think if we look out further, there's other regions we'd like to see ourselves into, Mexico and Latin America. And that's a natural extension of where we're headquartered out of the U.S. And I think the last in the foreseeable future would be in the Asia Pacific market. Now, I don't know if it's China, although I think I read it recently about China opening up its acceptance, where it's now accepting Visa, MasterCard, and presumably they'll make it a little easier than my experience when we were there, my former company, trying to get into China. But, you know, it's a possibility. It's a huge market, obviously, but different dynamics. But there's plenty of other opportunities across Asia. And, you know, we're still a young company. We're still, you know, relative to some of our bigger competitors, a somewhat small company, but we're moving quickly and I think growing very effectively.
Well, it sounds like in Europe in particular, given a lot of the regulatory change, that there's an opportunity for a little bit of consolidation. You alluded to the high fixed cost, low marginal cost. It sounds like you're in a good position to capitalize on some of that interest on the part of financial institutions to perhaps do good by giving someone who's in a better position to monetize acquiring services that opportunity. Is that kind of what you're seeing?
Yes, I'm seeing it. You know, initially, it's the larger financial institutions, and then as the larger financial institutions validate that this is okay to do, which up until, if you, you know, go back to the early mid-2000s when the PSD passed, there was an expectation that by, I think their first deadline was 08, that, you know, you were going to see this consolidation, kind of the individual walls by country for payments drop, which didn't happen. But we are starting to see it now. I would even say, you know, it's been accelerating from 3 years ago. I think as the crisis lessened and people looked around and said, okay, now what exactly are we going to do in terms of capital and competition and being relevant in our markets? They are looking at monoline as a solution. So as I said, we're in a good position. You know, there's plenty of very good competitors out there, so it's not like it's our market.
Right.
But I like our chances, and I think you'll see it continue. I don't see any abatement, and we're talking to some of the biggest banks across Europe, and we've already, you know, the largest bank in Ireland with Bank of Ireland, you know, they didn't take it in-house. They looked for a partner when they had the chance to do that. Deutsche Bank, same thing, you know, biggest bank in Germany and, you know, the big bank, regardless of what market they're in, the largest bank in Poland, in Spain, this is the fourth largest, and the other two larger banks have already done something similar with competitors of ours. So I think there's enough validation of this model that it's going to continue. I think there's a challenge in each of the banks about, gee, you know, these are my merchants or my customers, and they're going to be their merchants, and make sure the line of demarcation is well done. And I think that's another reason why we do well. I have a team of people who have been doing this for a long time. And when we sit in the room and talk through how this process works and allay their concerns, that it's going to be only better, not worse, after you take on a partner. It's reassuring to them, and I think that's some of the reasons we've been successful.
Well, Jim, it was great to get caught up and to get insight from you about the opportunities that you see and clearly how you've used those opportunities and made it better for both the financial institution and the merchants that you both are serving. Can't wait to keep getting caught up as you continue to knock those situations down in Europe and other parts of the world. Thanks for joining me today.
Karen, thank you very much. And I continue to enjoy reading your releases every day. It's the first thing I do in the morning.
Well, thank you. That's awfully nice of you to say. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.